This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
It's 9 minutes after 6 on this Thursday morning from FM 106. Time now for part one of the Morning Ag Show. We join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy, and good morning. Starting off with your grain futures from the Chicago Board of Trade on this Thursday morning. May corn finished down 4.5 cents to 346¾. July corn was down 4¼ to 356. And September corn was down 4 to 364¼. May beans were down 6¾ to 855¼. July beans finished at 868¾, down 6¾. And August beans were down 6¾ as well to 874¾. May wheat was down 6½ to 432¼. July wheat was down 6½ as well to 438½. And September wheat finished at 446, down 5¾. May bean meal was down 60 cents to $300.40 per ton. July bean meal was down 50 cents to $304 per ton. And August bean meal was down 80 cents to $304.80 per ton. Finally, soybean oil for May was down 14 cents to $27.92. July bean oil was down 15 cents to $28.22. And August bean oil was down 15 cents as well to $28.36. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture for Wednesday's Cash Grain Reports.
This is Wednesday's reported grain price and trend prepared by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The Lincoln grain price were lower on Wednesday afternoon. Lack of export demand and South America's soybeans competing with American soybeans pressured soybean values today. In northern western Lincoln, grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 4 cents at 305 to 339. Soybean bids were 2 to 5 cents lower at 765 to 814. In the central part of the state, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids down 5 to 6 cents at 318 to 335. Soybean bids were 3 to 7 lower at 795 to 822. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were down 3 cents at 320 to 351. Soybean bids were 1 to 4 cents lower at 803 to 837. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids were 1 to 7 cents lower at 826 to 835. Basis is unchanged up 6 at 2900 to 20 under the May. High pro soybean meal on a truck basis offered at 282.40 to 290.40, down 60 cents a ton, with basis steady at 1800 to 10 under the May. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids were 5 cents lower at 332 to 352, with basis unchanged at 1500 to 5 over the May. Illinois River barge loading elevators coated to produce the corn bids 5 cents lower at 343 to 378, with basis unchanged at 400 to 1 over the May. Soybeans ended down 3 to 7 cents at 823 to 831, with basis steadied up for 3200 to 24 under the May. New crop wheat prices were 7 cents lower at 409 to 429, with basis unchanged at 30 under to 10 under the July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal is placed their producer corn bids 3 to 4 cents lower at 366 to 367. These elevators lowered their soybean prices 2 cents, quotations at 850 to 851. Soft wheat closed down 7 cents at 464 to 469, and Milo ended the day 4 cents lower at 364 to 365. Contract bids producers for October and November delivery at corn in the northern part of the state at 320 to 346, soybeans at 805 to 835. In the central part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 332 to 346, soybeans at 824 to 846. And in the southern part of the state, corn for October and November delivery at 311 to 351, soybeans at 816 to 847. And June-July wheat at 409 to 444. That concludes our report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Moving on to livestock futures, live cattle for April lost $1.55 to $126.77. June live cattle were down $2.77 to $118.35. And August live cattle were down $2.37 to $115.82. May feeders were down $3.10 to $146.52 a head. August feeders were down $2.97 to $156.72. And September feeders were down $2.97 as well to $157.87. Finally, Maline hogs gained $1.35 to $89.17. June hogs were up 40 cents to $92.77. And July lean hogs gained 45 cents to $97.65. Now we'll turn it over to the Illinois Department of Agriculture once more for yesterday's cash livestock reports.
This is the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Wednesday afternoon livestock report. Starting in the National Daily Direct Hog Report, calculations for a 200-pound pork carcass traded 41 cents higher in a range of 73 to 83.50 with a weighted average carcass price of 80.98. From the Illinois Direct Sow Port, slaughter sow prices were $2 to $4 on lighter sows with very good demand for light to moderate offerings. U.S. 1 and 3 grade sows under 400 pounds traded 48 to 50, 4 to 5 weight of 51 to 54, 5 to 6 weight of 53 to 58, and over 600 pounds, $56 to $60. On the Illinois Direct Hog Trade, prices or barrels and gilts country buying points were firm, with good demand for moderate offerings ranging from $51 to $60. Receipts for Illinois barrels and gilts of a total of $20,250. In the direct cattle trade, the National Daily Direct Slaughter Cattle Report, choice steers on a live basis trade at $125 to $130.75, and on a dress basis at $201 to $208. Choice heifers on a live basis trade at $126 to $130, and on a dress basis at $197.50 to $206. From the National Daily Pork Plant Trade, trading for retail and processing cuts was dovish with 370 loads traded. Calculations were 200-pound pork carcass was $86.98, which is $1.94 lower. From the National Box Beef Cutout Port, values for choice and select beef carcasses were trading lower. Choice carcasses were $232.96, which is $1.15 lower, while select carcasses were $220.28, which is 98 cents lower. For the estimated daily slaughter under federal inspection, cattle slaughter was estimated 121,000. Compared to 121,000 last week and 118,000 one year ago. Hog slaughter was estimated at 477,000 compared to 477,000 last week and 462,000 one year ago. That concludes our livestock report. This is David Humphreys with the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
And that's all for part one of the Morning Ag Show at 16 minutes after 6. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you this morning by CHS, farmer owned with global connections. By Seavers Equipment of Hamel, Hillsboro, Greenfield, Carlinville, Auburn, and Jerseyville. By the Montgomery County Farm Bureau, where membership means value. And by the Litchfield National Bank. And once again, we join WSMI Ag Director Gabe Osborne.
Thank you, Randy. In Ag News for this Thursday morning, Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley is warning Democrats not to play politics with the U.S.-Mexico-Canada Agreement or Farm Disaster Aid, despite a hyper-partisan mood in Congress right now. Grassley, whose panel deals with trade, says the House will take up the USMCA first. But with investigations and subpoenas flying after the Mueller-Russia report, Grassley was asked about cooperation in the current hyper-political environment.
If it is a problem, House Democrats shouldn't play games on trade because our agriculture and our economy generally depends upon those agreements getting through.
So Grassley has this advice.
The House Democrats shouldn't be playing politics with trade issues and also with the aid for FEMA and floods generally because, why? There's farmers hurting where they're flooded right now. They don't need any more.
Politics over Puerto Rico hurricane aid has already sidelined $13 billion, including $5 billion for ag disaster help in a failed Senate procedural vote last month. 135 farm groups and lenders are calling on the president and lawmakers to stop the politics and help their farmers and others deal with unprecedented destruction from floods, drought, hurricanes, tornadoes, and fire. Grassley, meantime, says he's willing to be a go-between in the USMCA talks with Democrats on their demand for more labor and environmental protections. But he adds this.
According to what Lighthizer or somebody in the administration has said, it's going to come up when Pelosi says to send it up.
Again, that was Senate Finance Chair Chuck Grassley. Threatened tariffs could hike U.S. tomato prices between 40 and 85%. Research commissioned by the Fresh Produce Association of America suggests that if the U.S. withdraws from the tomato suspension agreement on May 7th and applies duties on Mexican tomatoes, consumer prices could rise up to 40% in the period from May to December. During other periods, such as winter, prices for certain varieties like vine-ripened tomatoes, tomatoes on the vine, and Romas could rise more than 85%. At the request of tomato growers from Florida, U.S. Commerce Secretary Wilbur Ross announced the U.S. would end the current suspension agreement between the two countries. By doing so, the U.S. would resume an anti-dumping investigation that could result in steep duties on Mexican tomatoes. The tomato suspension agreement is an agreement suspending the anti-dumping investigation on fresh tomatoes from Mexico, which stops Mexico from dumping tomato exports on the U.S. market. In the latest trade news, the U.S. and China will resume trade talks next week. U.S. Trade Representative Robert Lighthizer will travel to China to meet with trade officials along with Treasury Secretary Steve Mnuchin. China is also expected to return to the United States for negotiations on May 8th. Next week's discussions will cover intellectual property, forced technology transfer, non-tariff barriers, agriculture, services, purchases, and enforcement, according to a White House statement. Both sides appear hopeful to reach a draft agreement by the end of May. The negotiations, which stem from the tit-for-tat trade war last year, bring hope that tariffs will come to an end for the United States agriculture. However, the ongoing African swine fever outbreak in China, which is forcing more than 20% drops in China's hog production, will also reduce demand for soybeans and feed products, a top agricultural export product for the United States. If the two sides can reach a favorable agreement, the United States could be in a position to provide additional pork exports to China to cover the production loss. In other national ag news on this Thursday morning, the National Prescription Drug Takeback Day is a way for rural residents to combat opioid abuse in rural communities, according to the American Farm Bureau Federation. Ann Hazlett, Senior Advisor for Rural Affairs at the White House Office of National Drug Control Policy, says this Saturday is an opportunity to remove unused opioids from your medicine cabinet.
This is an event that happens twice a year where law enforcement teams up with community leaders and provides a disposal location where people can get rid of the unused or expired medications out of their medicine cabinets.
In 2017 alone, more than 70,000 Americans lost their lives as a result of a drug overdose, and many of those deaths happened as a result of opioids. Hazlett says rural America is not immune to those challenges.
Many of those deaths sadly happened in rural America. And when you step back and look at some of the research, we also find that many people who struggle with addiction didn't get those drugs from a drug dealer. They got them from friends or family that had unused medication lying around in their homes.
Hazlett encourages all rural residents to participate in the Take Back event.
We appreciate the partnership and the leadership of Farm Bureau in addressing an issue that is so important to the future of rural communities, and participating in a Take Back Day event in your community is just one more way to be part of this team effort.
Find a Take Back site near you this Saturday at deatakeback.com. Moving on to state ag news on this Thursday morning, we have the latest crop production and progress report for the state. And for that, we join Mark Sloysener with the National Ag Statistics Service in Springfield.
Some Illinois producers were able to use their planters last week, but field conditions were still too wet in most places, and very little field work was accomplished. There were only 1.5 days suitable for field work last week, and topsoil moisture was rated 1% short, 45% adequate, and 54% surplus, nearly unchanged from last week. There was an average of 1.1 inches of rain around Illinois last week, which was slightly above normal. Rainfall in northern areas was generally less than average, and the rest of the state received above normal precipitation. Temperatures range from 3 degrees below normal in southern Illinois to slightly above normal in northern parts of the state. On Sunday the 21st, soil temperatures range from the mid-40s to the upper 50s across Illinois. 2% of the winter wheat crop is now heading, compared to 4% 1 year ago and the 5-year average of 6%. The condition of the winter wheat crop was reported as 5% very poor, 10% poor, 30 fair, 50 good, and 5% excellent, which is slightly worse than 1 week ago. Corn planting reached 1% complete as of Sunday. That compares to 3% 1 year ago and 17% for the 5-year average. Pasture conditions were rated 8% very poor to poor, 40 fair, and 52% good to excellent, slightly better than 1 week ago. This has been Mark Schleusener with the Heartland Region, Illinois Field Office of USDA's National Agricultural Statistics Service in Springfield.
The Illinois Department of Agriculture carries the name of former Secretary of Agriculture John Block. He is the only former Illinois Agriculture Director to go on to become the U.S. Ag Secretary. During a recent ceremony at the John R. Block Building, the former Ag Secretary was honored with a plaque bearing his likeness and listing some of his many accomplishments for agriculture. After the ceremony, Block said he was humbled by the honor.
Well, I am. First of all, the building itself. I mean, I haven't served as state director of agriculture, and we got the legislation passed to build this building. Then I went to Washington to work for President Reagan, which is terrific, but I never officed in this building. Now they put a plaque up here inside, besides the name on the outside, and it's just humbling to see this.
Block served as the Secretary of Agriculture under President Reagan from 1981 to 1985. Even when he's not in office, Block is always thinking about U.S. agriculture.
Well, agriculture's always been my life, even though when I was in the military, I still always thought about it and cared about it. And having worked in Washington, my job was agriculture, and so it just is what I do and what I care about. Besides family, of course, it's been a wonderful experience.
Like many other Illinois farmers, Block's planting season is getting off to a slow start because of wet weather.
Yep, we can't start yet. We started on a little bit of anhydrous. If we miss this rain, maybe the end of the week we'll start planting corn. But if we don't miss the rain, who knows?
Again, that was former U.S. Ag Secretary and Illinois Director of Agriculture, John Block. In other news from the Department of Agriculture, in an effort to expand the availability of fresh, locally grown produce and strengthen the competitiveness of the state's specialty crop industry, the Illinois Department of Agriculture plans to distribute more than $711,000 over a 3-year period thanks to funding allocated in the Specialty Crop Block Grant Program in the Federal Farm Bill. Applications for grant funding are available on the Illinois Department of Agriculture's website and must be returned to the department by close of business this Friday, April 26th. To be eligible for funding, all projects must begin in the calendar year of 2020. In the first year, IDOA will distribute roughly $237,000, with a similar amount distributed for selected projects in 2021 and 2022. Currently, there are over 3,600 established specialty crop farms in Illinois, which devote more than 85,000 acres of farmland and produce nearly $500 million in sales for Illinois farmers. To encourage further expansion of the industry and to take full advantage of the allocated federal funds, the department invites the development of projects pertaining to issues that affect the specialty crop industry. Projects that benefit a particular commercial product or provide a profit to a single organization, institution, or individual are ineligible. Farmers markets, roadside stands, and community-sponsored agriculture programs should consider submitting proposals to the USDA's Farmers Market and Local Food Promotion Program. The USDA's Ag Marketing Service defines specialty crops as fruit, vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, horticulture, nursery crops, including floriculture. Illinois is the nation's leading producer of pumpkins and horseradish, while our state ranks in the top 10 in acreage of cantaloupes, green peas, lima beans, and sweet corn. Again, remember that applications must be submitted to the Department of Agriculture no later than close of business tomorrow, Friday, April 26th. And finally, in local ag news, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District would like to announce the availability of cost-share money to local landowners to assist in conservation practices and projects. This past winter's excessive precipitation and freezing has been quite harsh to our soils and landscape. In turn, farmers are finding erosion in their fields this spring as planting preparations are underway. During the fiscal year of 2019, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will offer 50% cost share through the Conservation Practice Program on projects such as strip till, cover crops, well sealings, and additional practices to improve the effects of erosion from this winter and early spring. The Conservation Practice Program is a state cost share program provided by the Illinois Department of Agriculture. The main goal of the Conservation Practice Program is to reduce soil loss to the tolerable soil loss level and to control erosion problems in the field. Some of these practices include filter strips, grassed waterways, field border strips, critical area plantings, water and sediment control basins, terraces, grade stabilization structures, and sinkhole stabilizations. By working with the Soil and Water Conservation District and following a conservation plan, this soil-saving goal can be met. Due to the delayed planting season this spring, the Montgomery County Soil and Water Conservation District will accept Conservation Practice Program applications until June 14th. Farmers and landowners who would like to fill out an application for potential cost-share dollars are encouraged to stop in at the office in Hillsboro, or you can give them a call at 217-532-3361, extension 3. For this Thursday morning, April 25th, this has been Gabe Osborne reporting for WSMI Ag News.